Thank you for spending another midweek moment with the Wisconsin Property Taxpayers. I'm Paul Rozeski. Today's Wednesday, January 7th, 2026. Thanks for being here. Before we jump into some headlines, let's take a quick look at the week ahead. First, something cool in Wisconsin. If you're a winter sports person, this week might be a little hit or miss. A lot of the snow that covered up the state also disappeared just as quickly. That said, there's still plenty to do outside, but if winter isn't your thing, you've still got options. A good example is down in Beloit, where you'll find a multi-day tournament sanctioned by the American Cornhole Association. I'm officially adding professional cornhole player to my growing list of things that sound very Wisconsin. If none of that interests you and you're still bored this Sunday, you can observe National Learn Your Name in Morse Code Day. So whatever you decide to do this weekend, however you decide to celebrate, please celebrate responsibly. This week, we look at how the Capitol is going from quiet to chaos to quiet like flipping a switch, how the blame game is being played, how the balance of power hangs in the balance, and we wrap it all up with a quote from POTUS number 3. Do you remember who it is? Fun fact, he designed and redesigned his home over the decades. Place your bets on who it is. And in the meantime, let's jump into some news together. And let's start with the number 20%. The polling number of the week. According to a national survey, 20% of voters say New Year's Day is one of the most important holidays in the country. For one out of five people, this holiday is on their most important list. Alongside celebrating religious holidays, celebrating our freedoms, celebrating the people and events that highlight virtuous character, all of those things are on par with a superficial, arbitrary party day on the calendar. I'm not exactly sure what that says about us, but kind of reinforces something I've felt for a while now. Our nation, our priorities regularly and quietly are anchored to the superficial. In other news, it's worth noting just how busy the first full week of the new year already is at the Capitol. A bunch of the behind-the-scenes work that happened over the holidays that I hinted at is taking the next step. So, the legislature has packed a couple dozen committee hearings into a matter of a couple of days this week. We're talking about hearings on everything from education policy on notifying parents about kids changing their pronouns, to workforce licensing, to unemployment, to environmental regulations, to election administration, to renaming memorial highways, and every possible point in between, and all within the same brief window. Almost everyone has been trying to be in two places at the same time all week, myself included. Here's the part that should get your attention. The word around the Capitol is that the Assembly is aiming to wrap up its work on bills by February 19th. February! That means the Senate will probably end up being done sometime in March. It really feels like that timeline keeps creeping earlier and earlier every session. I mean, seriously, what a joke. They're called lawmakers, but most of the year they sure aren't lawmaking. It's as if they solved all the problems and don't need to be there. Yeah, I don't think so. In other news, if the recent flood of op-eds about property tax increases seems familiar, that's because it is. At least half a dozen have popped up since New Year's, and we're watching the same playbook unfold that I laid out a month or two ago. The blame game is continuing to play out with each side of the aisle telling why the other side is to blame. It's the governor's fault. No, it's the legislature's fault. No, it's the school districts, because definitely the school districts are getting involved. No, it's inflation. No, it's the system, because it's a technical formula so ungodly complex and convoluted that no one can explain it without a four-dimensional flowchart. Well, I'll repeat what I said before. Every single one of those things is part of the problem. What's missing out from most of these op-eds is any serious discussion about restraint or about taking accountability. Everyone explains why the increase is someone else's fault, but very few will admit their role in how the whole heist has come together. And at the end of the day, the blame may be shared, but the bill isn't. That bill still lands squarely in the hands of the taxpayer. In other news, and speaking of being done with lawmaking for the year, speculation is already quietly circulating around the Capitol about whether Assembly Speaker Robin Voss plans to retire. The speculation has swirled for a while about whether he's considered it, but if there's one thing that anyone who has watched Wisconsin politics for more than 5 minutes will probably agree with, it's that he will not be leaving if there's even a hint of him being pushed out, nudged aside, or timed out on anyone else's calendar or timeline except his own. So I feel like he hasn't even really had the opportunity to consider it, because he's had a Republican primary opponent and a few recall attempts since COVID. So it wasn't going to happen, and he might feel like this is the first time in a while that the window of consideration is actually open, and that context matters. It is highly, highly unlikely that the Democrats flip control of the Assembly, of which he's the Speaker. So he goes out on top, and he has the legacy of having weathered all the redistricting storms, he oversaw years of budget surpluses, and he has set a path for the future. It is a pretty appealing legacy, and if Scott Walker has taught us anything, it's that the cachet of a successful legacy only grows with time. He also knows that we are getting to the point of having to make some pretty hard budget decisions, which will be getting much harder. Whether he runs again or not, the groundwork that has been laid, especially on taxes and spending that will direct our future successes, are really all up in the air right now, especially with the potential of margins in the Senate getting even tighter after the November elections. This next budget is going to be even tougher than the last one, because there will be more cooks in the kitchen and more people with seats at the table, which means more people are going to be asking for and ordering up a serving of what they want and what fits their own legacy and vision and leverage of control. If there are more people at the table placing an order, the problem is that the bill still lands squarely in the hands of the taxpayer, and the whole blame game, finger-pointing cycle starts all over again. And finally, I give you a quote from POTUS number 3, a founding father that had a keen insight and wisdom. It's as if he could see into the future, because he predicted how this was going to play out all along. It was Thomas Jefferson who said, and I quote, "The natural progress of things is for liberty to yield and government to gain ground," unquote. Have a great second half of your weekend. As always, thanks for listening. Wisconsin Property Taxpayers Inc. is a nonpartisan membership organization consisting of thousands of small business, farm, and homeowner members in every above-freezing corner of the state. Founded in 1985, the organization is committed to providing its members with up-to-date information, legislative advocacy, and exclusive cost-saving benefits. Find out how to join at WPTOnline.org/join.